The Buckmaster Radio Program is paid for by Buckmaster Communications, LLC. The views expressed are not necessarily those of KVOI, Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or their sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. We are off and running on the final month of March already. It is Monday, March 27th. The Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio, the radio station 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. For trusted news and talk, we have our worldwide live listening, all of our podcasts and show archive on my website, buckmastershow.com. All of our telephone interviews, the live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. It's time for our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe and his team specialize in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. That means Moe makes house calls. He'll make sure everything is up on the wall the way you want it. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Our Monday one-on-one today is with Robert Schwebel. Dr. Schwebel is a clinical psychologist and longtime Tucsonan who directed a drug treatment agency here in town in the early 1980s. He began his writing career with a weekly psychology column in the Arizona Daily Star from 1983 to 1991. In the late 1980s, he co-authored the book, A Guide to a Happier Family, then wrote, Saying No is Not Enough, Helping Children Make Wise Decisions About Alcohol and Other Drugs. A few years later, he wrote Who's on Top, Who's on Bottom, How Couples Can Learn to Share Power. In 1990, he began a drug treatment program for adolescents and now adults that's widely used across the United States and in Canada and even in Europe. His most recent book is Leap of Power, Take Control of Alcohol, Drugs, and Your Life. Right now he's working on a new project developing what he calls mastery counseling. Dr. Schwebel, good to see you. Thank you for being with us.
Good to be here with you.
Tell me a little bit about, the book I'm referring to, this book, this drug treatment program. It is a book, but it's also a treatment program, The Seven Challenges, widely used. But you've been quoted as saying there is no such thing as drug counseling. What do you mean by that?
When I say that, what I mean is that life counseling and drug counseling can't be separated. They're really one of the same things, that when people use drugs, it's because of what's going on in their lives, and when they use drugs, it affects what's going on in their lives. So there have been these attempts to say, well, if someone has a drug problem, just talk about drugs, and that's it. But people are using drugs for a reason. It's connected to what's going on in their lives.
So much of drug counseling, you have the counselors do they focus enough about the harm that drugs do, Dr. Schwebel?
Well, I think that actually relates to the first question you asked, that the focus is very, very narrowly on the harm. And it makes sense. Intuitively, you think, well, people have a drug problem. If we want to help motivate them to change, we have to help them become aware of the harm. But the fact of the matter is, they know they're being harmed by drugs.
Instinctively, they would know that drugs are not helping them, wouldn't they?
Exactly. And it's like beating a dead horse, and actually making people feel worse. It does this to you and it does that to you. Don't you recognize how terrible this is? I guess it comes from the old days of thinking about drug problems. It used to be viewed kind of as just a moral problem. There's something wrong with you as a person. That's why you do it.
Is this something that you could kind of characterize as harm-based counseling?
Yes, and that's what's widely practiced. Harm-based counseling, we focus on the harm from the drugs, but we don't talk about the rest of your life. And that's what we talked, your first question was about that, about, calling it drug treatment. It's really life counseling with a paying attention to the drugs and incorporating work on drugs. So, yes, you look at the harm, but I think the interesting thing, Bill, is that people know they've been beaten to death about the harm. You know, they've heard it over and over again. They turn on the news, they know about it. So people know about it. Why do we harp on that? That hasn't stopped them.
Well, should we be talking about drug benefits?
Well,
yes. That's kind of, that's, I'm sure
a
some listeners are saying, whoa, do we want to go down that road?
Well, you see, I think we absolutely do, because if you think about it, the most interesting question is, people know about the harm from drugs. They've heard it over and over again. They've seen public service announcements. They may have experienced harm themselves. They may have family members who have been harmed. They know about the harm. What is it about drugs that is so compelling that people keep coming back for more despite the harm? Well, why is it, Bill? Exactly what you said. They come back for the benefits from drugs. I mean, a lot of people don't like talking about that. They think you're encouraging drug use or something. But, you know, people use drugs to feel good. People use drugs for pleasure. People use drugs to alleviate pain, to cope with life. That's why they're using it. So to tell them it's harming you doesn't work. What we have to begin to do is talk with them and say, what is it you like? What brings you? Why do you keep doing it? What needs are you meeting from your drugs? What are the benefits of drugs? When people realize what the benefits are, like it helps me relax at night. Well, counselors can help with the insomnia. It helps when I'm anxious. Counselors can teach relaxation skills or talk about what are the life problems that are making you anxious.
This makes sense in so many on so many levels, because you're using that as an entry point to you're, when you sit down with somebody and, well, what is it that you, what benefits do you feel you're getting out of drugs, and then you can transition, go down a different avenue that is not as harmful. Is that kind of what I'm hearing?
Exactly. It's disarming. I mean, people who come to drug counseling expect you to talk about all the bad things about drugs and even the bad things about the people who use drugs. And it's very disarming to say, what do you like about drugs? What do you get from them? And, I mean,
well, you know what the backlash is. People are going to say, and I'm sure there are some people listening to this interview right now with you, Dr. Schwebel, saying you're promoting drug use when you talk about the benefit of drugs with clients.
Yes, and yeah, you're absolutely right. That is a criticism that we hear when we begin to talk about it. But as people listen and come to understand it, they realize that we're not encouraging drug use. It's, there's a difference between saying, let's try to understand what's going on. Let's try to figure out what needs you're meeting from your drug use. Once we know what needs you're meeting from your drug use, we can help you figure out alternative ways to meet those needs. So there's a difference between helping people understand what they're doing from encouraging them.
Does this lead to what you're calling mastery counseling?
Well,
is this mastery? What is mastery
counseling? Well, I mean, the whole idea of mastery counseling really came from working with people who had drug problems and with counselors who, all the counselors were doing, were talking about the harm from drugs and harping on the harm.
Sure. Right.
And I had to figure out a way to help these people kind of introduce them to what are the basics, what is the core of life counseling? Because as I said, and you quoted me, there's no such thing as drug counseling. It's it's really life counseling that incorporates work on drugs. And when people come in because they're unhappy about their drug use, I think it's a relief to them to say, you know, this, let's not look at this as like just a drug problem. It's a life problem that involves drugs.
Let's talk more about mastery counseling after we take the break. But before we take the break, quick question came in. One of our Facebook friends, David, wants to know, what does your guest think about the use of microdosing mushrooms or use of other psychedelics to end addiction? Any thoughts on that?
Well, that's a little bit of a curveball, but you know, there's research on that, and there's some real validation of its potential effectiveness. It's interesting. Timothy Leary was doing that in the 60s. Yes. That's how we got run out of Harvard University.
What's old is new again, isn't it, when it comes to this? Anyway.
One other thing, Bill. Yeah, I think it is being legalized, sale to the public of mushrooms, I believe, in Oregon.
Okay, I think I heard that as well. All right, we'll have more on our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and moesgallery.com. But right now, a quick shout-out to Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. I had a fantastic, actually, a couple of them over the weekend of their butter croissants. Love Mona's, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Dr. Schwabel, you like Mona's as well.
Yes,
don't you?
I do.
We've had you up there a couple of times. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, on the web at monasdanishbakery.com. They do take Monday off, well-deserved day off. They are open 6:30 in the morning, Tuesday through Saturday, then 7 o'clock Sunday morning. My advice, get there early. More with Dr. Robert Schwabel. It's the Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and it is our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lawn and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Moe and his family have been in business since 1985. They believe in good conversation. That's why they sponsor the one-on-one, and that's what we're having today with Dr. Robert Schwebel. Good conversation. Dr. Schwebel, longtime clinical psychologist in Tucson. He's got numerous books. His drug treatment program, The Seven Challenges, is being used. It's a program for adolescents and now adults, widely used across North America, now even in Europe. His latest project is something called Mastery Counseling. And Dr. Schwebel, we started to touch on it before the break. Again, tell us about Mastery Counseling. I know that Mastery Counseling is your main interest right now. And how does that relate to your previous work on drugs?
Well, the way it relates is it's basically life counseling. And what I wanted to do was get to the core of the issue of what is counseling? What is the counseling profession about? And basically, it's about people come in because they're distressed. And somehow what we want to do is help them leave feeling better, with things
better. Of course.
Better.
I mean, that's why they come, right? Presumably to get better.
Exactly. And unless
they're being ordered by like a court or something, you must go to this, but that's kind of a different area.
Even then you have to win them over, that somehow you have to show that their life's going to get better.
Yes.
So this actually evolved because I was working with clients with drug problems and with counselors who were counseling them. And I tried to figure out what's the best way to get these counselors to move off of drugs and begin to talk about people's lives. And in fact, what your comment about when people are forced to go, that somehow I think it's so important to destigmatize mental health and getting help with problems. So I started thinking about it, and I started thinking about what I call mastery living. And mastery living is what people who want to take charge of their own lives do. They take a look at what's going on in their own lives, and whatever's going well, they leave it as is. And whatever's not going well, or as well as they would like it to be going, is an issue. They identify it as an issue, and they work on it. That's what people do who want to take control of their lives. That's what hopefully you and I do, Bill, that we and the listeners, that's how you make sure things are going the way you want it to be going. Well, that destigmatizes problems. We all have problems. And life counseling, mastery counseling, is an extension of mastery living. It's saying to our clients when they come in, what's going on in your life that's not going as well as you would like it to be going, or that is a problem for you? And let's call that your issue, and you can work on it in here. And it gives us the ability to say to them, look, you have issues, I have issues. No one has a perfect life. Let's figure out what's not going well for you or as well as you'd like it to be going, and let's work on it on every session. And mastery counseling is working on it in every session. I kind of develop, a six-stage process, starting with clients identifying the issue.
Sometimes simplicity, Dr. Schwebel, is the best path. And this sounds almost too simple.
I know. And I think that it sounds simple because I've lost, that our culture has lost sight of the basics of mastery living, of the fact that if you're in distress, let's take the problem apart systematically. And that instead, I think the criticism is it sounds so simple. I think it kind of goes the other way, that I'm concerned that psychology and the counseling professions and social work and psychiatrists have overcomplicated it with really fancy words, white coats that they wear. And now, that's one of the things when I'm actually training counselors, I often say, Don't go in, you know, don't try to be a make-believe doctor with a white coat on like you're a medical doctor.
Just coming in with a white coat, there are a lot of us, when we see the white coat, we have white coat syndrome. It's just like, it's a turnoff.
And
our blood pressure goes up just
seeing, and imagine
seeing a doctor
going
in a white coat. So, yeah.
And then, Bill, imagine going into someone who kind of communicates that same feeling and thinking, I need to talk about the most basic things in my life to this person.
I don't think so. It would be a hindrance, I think, to a lot of people. I want to also mention the whole thing with the kids looking at the devices, and not just kids. There is a digital media addiction right now in this country. Are you concerned about it?
Very concerned. And we see a lot of it. A lot of kids with drug issues also have media issues. And, you know, it's important. We don't want to get like, you know, when radio came, people had a panic. What's it going to do to us? When TV came, what's it going to do to us?
Mm-hmm.
And now with digital media. But, it's funny you mention it because we're actually working on a program with some people in Utah to help with digital addiction, because we have kids who are not doing their homework or staying up all night with their phones.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, we talked about life counseling. It's kids are using digital media the way other people use drugs. When they're stressed out, it's a way to relieve it. When they want social contact, it's a way to connect with other people. There are benefits to it. There are many benefits. It's not going away.
Mm-hmm.
It can be wonderfully powerful, positive aspect of our lives. But like drugs, it's reinforcing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do it and it relieves stress. Everything that's reinforcing, we're likely to do again. You do a drug, it relieves stress, we'll do it again. You get on digital media, it relieves stress, you do it again. You do it because you want to have fun, you do it again. So the same processes happen with digital media.
Yeah, I was just wondering what would be the mastery counseling approach to getting someone, maybe they feel they're addicted to the media. How would the mastery counseling work? The old way, I assume, would be, oh, you've got to stop this. You're really, really harming yourself. But that's kind of the old way we've been talking about. What about your way?
That's right. It's just like with drugs, you know. Say no to drugs. What do we tell our kids? Say no to telephones? I mean, no.
Exactly.
They're here to stay.
Yeah.
What we want to do with telephones is what we actually do in Seven Challenges with Counseling, is help people figure out how to take control of it. And the mastery counseling approach is what needs. Let's figure out what needs. This is meeting for you. And let's support you. You know, if you're doing it when you're stressed, you just had a fight with your parents, for example, talking about younger people.
Yeah.
Now you go up and get on your digital media.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about other ways you can handle the difference with your parents.
Mm-hmm.
And help. We do this with drugs. We would do it with digital media, which is we're not here to take it away. Let's figure out how to help you figure out how you can take control of this digital media.
Mm-hmm. Is there something in the human being that wants to be addicted to something?
See, I don't think we want to be addicted, but we are animals. And when a behavior is particularly reinforcing, we repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
That's just nature.
Mm-hmm.
And if we keep repeating use of digital media, we'll do it more. And brain connections will be made that lead us to go back to what works.
Mm-hmm.
The idea, and you asked about mastery counseling, is let's help people find other ways to meet the same needs. So I don't think it's that we want to be addicted. It's that we don't have better ways, or we haven't yet learned better ways to meet our needs, and we're stuck relying on our telephones or some weed or some alcohol or whatever it happens to be.
Are you at all concerned about what the growth of marijuana around the country? Is that something that's not that big a deal in your opinion? We have more and more states now that have legalized not only the medicinal use of marijuana, but also recreational. It's interesting because there's still a federal law prohibiting the marijuana, but then you have all these individual states, including Arizona, where it's legal.
Well, I am much more concerned with what is it about the quality of life in our culture that leads people to feel so lost, so distressed, so miserable, and so hopeless that they're turning to these substances. We did prohibition and that didn't work.
Right.
And we basically have done prohibition with marijuana and that didn't work. Mm-hmm. So I don't think taking away telephones or marijuana or alcohol back in the old days is going to be effective.
You're saying let's look at the root cause. Why
yes.
do we feel that we need these substances?
And to tie it
it's
all
really
together.
It's the bottom line.
It's
yeah.
life counseling. They're, what's going on in our life?
Where can people find out more about Dr. Robert Schwebel and your books and what you do? What would be a good place?
Well, our program is called Seven Challenges.
Mm-hmm.
So the word, not the digit, sevenchallenges.com talks about our program.
Mm-hmm.
I have a personal website, which is my name, Robert, and then my last name, Schwebel, S-C-H-W-E-B as in boy, E-L, .com.
Mm-hmm.
That has information, some of the things I put up.
All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Schwebel. Pleasure talking with you.
Great talking with you, Ben.
All right. Our Monday One-on-One presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Fort Lowell and Dodge, their website looking real good. The website's been revamped. They're doing e-commerce as well now on the website, moesgallery.com. We'll be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios. We love Green Things. A great time of year right now after as we transition into spring. these mornings have been rather chilly. My goodness, I think it was like 38 degrees. Very unusual for late March, but things are going to warm up a little bit. But actually, the plants love it. My geraniums are just so happy with these temperatures. Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. They've got everything you need for the garden on their 13-acre site and some beautiful merchandise at Zocalo Village, Talavera pottery, beautiful things imported, many of them from Central America. Our live line when we do our telephone interviews, 790-2040. That is our live line number. That is presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. We welcome back to the show General Ted Maxwell. General Maxwell has led the Southern Arizona Leadership Council as president and CEO since 2018. So he's got about 5 years heading up the organization. His nearly 34 years of military service includes 15 years in active duty Air Force and additional 19 years in the Arizona Air National Guard. He is a graduate of the Air Force Academy. He's now retired as a Major General. That happened back in 2018. His final military position was Commander, Arizona Air National Guard, which is a huge guard operation. General, it's great to see you again. Someone was telling me it's one of the biggest Air Guard operations in the United States.
We actually, the Arizona Air National Guard is the fifth largest Air National Guard in the U.S. At least it was when I retired back in 18. And if anything, we may have expanded, but it is. And you think about it, Bill, the reason that the military is here is because we've got such great flying weather. Mm-hmm. I mean, with the Marines train here, the Army trains here, and mm-hmm. Army Aviation, that is. Mm-hmm. The Air Force has multiple bases, you know, three major organizations, and we've got the airspace and the weather to do it. So it's a great place to fly airplanes. There's
no doubt
about that.
I wonder if we have more military installations per capita than anywhere in the country.
I don't know if it's anywhere in the country. We do have one of the largest military installations and both also active serving military mm-hmm. members, but also retirees. Okay. This is a great place, young men and women who start their careers in Arizona or serve sometime there in Arizona, they see the beauty, the weather, the luxury. So a lot of military folks come back and retire in Arizona. And so we really have a large economic impact. They're redoing the number now. We believe it's going to be up in the $20 billion annual in economic impact.
Did you say $20 billion?
Yes.
Whoa. So and a lot of military people utilize the base to go out and do some shopping, don't they, retirees?
Yeah, they do. It's funny, over the years, it used to be a huge impact. I mean, huge
cost savings
yeah. a long time ago. It kind of dwindled over some of the periods where the government was struggling to find some of the must-pays and reduce them. They've made them get more competitive now, so now it is worth it. There used to be a great benefit to have in the military. Then it became okay, and now it's starting
to
win that way.
And they had to compete with the big boxes.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, so you're saying now they're getting more competitive. Why don't we kind of, we've got two segments with you. I know you follow what's going on at the legislature, and that's part of your job with the Southern Arizona Leadership Council. We'll divide our time, and then after we take the break, we'll come back and we'll talk about your other very important hat that you wear, and that's transportation. But what are you keeping an eye on right now, General, up at the legislature? There's so much going on. It seems like every day there's a ton of bills that seem to get introduced.
Well, there is, Bill. It's still kind of a dance or a game going on up there. Posturing. I mean, we're at almost the 80th day of the legislature. The constitutional target is for 100 days.
That's
it's not going to happen. I mean, remember last year it went to late June. I'm betting it's probably going to go to late June. So far, there's been 30 bills passed, and generally there's a couple hundred bills that get passed before it's said and done. But so far, there's been 30 bills passed. The governor's vetoed 16 of them.
Wow, that could be a record, right?
And she's only she's got a way to go. I think 54 is the record.
But probably a record for this early in the session.
That is true. Yeah. Now 13 of those vetoes were the budget. When they tried to pass the skinny budget, there was 13 separate bills to address it. And she vetoed all those. So she signed two bills into law. And there's 12 more that are standing that they have now transmitted. We're getting at that point where the bills are beginning to come to fruition. This week's supposed to be the last week they hear them in what we call the crossover house. So not the house of origin, but the house that the committee stopped this week. Approps can stay around. Mm-hmm. But there are ways to revitalize bills as they go forward. But the big things everybody's watching is the budget's going to be a huge negotiation.
Okay.
The Republicans are actually working right now trying to get a budget that they can send back to the governor without engaging yet with the governor on the budget. Mm-hmm. Now, likelihood of her signing that one probably would be small too, but I think they're trying to show the support they've got for their needs and desires. Mm-hmm. And then the governor and the minority party will obviously want some as well. Mm-hmm. It always comes down to the original forecast was about $1.8 billion of excess revenue in the state.
Mm-hmm.
And that would basically be something that they could divide and I won't say pet projects, but they can put it towards things that they are supportive of.
We can get a lot of stuff done with $1.8 billion as a so-called rainy day fund, but sometimes lawmakers want to return that in the form of a tax cut, and by the time it gets back to the constituent, it's a couple of bucks.
And they are looking at some tax reduction bills that are going through, and most of them are not quite as broad sweeping. I remember last year they passed the flat tax and went down to eventually 2.55 overall. There's been no reduction of reducing that, but there are a couple out there. But the big thing is this: the Legislative Budget Committee just put out new reports on the amount of revenue updates that they're going to have, and you're starting to see a little flattening of the economy. So we'll see if it gets to the $1.8 billion in excess or not. But a couple things that are one of the things that may be driving that is that there's more tax refunds that are going back to the citizens of Arizona, and also the Empowerment Scholarship account that when they passed the universal last year, and we've talked about this one before on the air, they're not sure where it's going to sit, but they think it's running about 10 times forecast estimates. So they're still processing paperwork for it. There's still people applying for it, but that could be a significant impact, again, on what to do with that surplus money.
Mm-hmm. What are you watching from your organization?
The big ones I'd say we are watching is there's a whole lot of election bills that are still out there. And there's a lot of conversations. I mean, they deal with a whole bunch of different categories, everything from how you register, the use of mail-in ballots, to how we conduct them. And we know some of them are going to be making their way forward. There's going to be some proof there. SLC supported a couple because we think they make sense. They are continuous improvement, like I talked about last time we talked elections. Mm-hmm. You know, you should always look to continuously improve the process. But there's quite a few that we aren't supportive of, too. So not many of them, if any, have really moved out yet. I think they're trying to figure out which ones they're going to move, and we'll see where that plays. But the election issues will be it. And then the other one's going to be the budget discussion. There's a lot of infrastructure, and I know we'll talk more about infrastructure after this. There's a lot of infrastructure bills that are either on the precipice of being passed through or will be part of the budget negotiations. I mean, the big one for us is I-10, getting the completion of those three lanes down. As you know from our last conversations, we didn't get the federal grant that we were hoping to get. But
the state Senator may Shope step up.
Senator Shope's got a bill that's been moving all the way through. It's already gone over to the House, and that's where it's sitting right now, which would make up the difference.
So this may get done.
We're hoping it gets done in a single project. That's the biggest thing. Yeah. That's why we need the 750. It won't stop ADOT or the State Transportation Board from going out for more federal funds on it, potentially some of the grants that are out there and available. Mm-hmm. But if we don't have the money, we can't start it as a single project. And that will save time, as in years, as well as money, as in probably $100 to $250 million. If we can do it as a single project instead of breaking it into two.
Coming up Friday, we'll have Chris Mays, Arizona Attorney General, will be our Friday Focus interview, and we'll be asking our general she's kind of revamped that whole election fraud unit that her predecessor had gone. Obviously, he went a different direction than Chris has. So it'll be interesting to see what some of her thoughts.
Well, I think that will be an interesting role to see how some of these things roll through. I mean, as I've said before, there's always a little fraud in every election. I mean, everything from our high school student body president elections on up.
Yes.
I mean, so you're never going to be perfect because
never going to be totally fraud free of an election.
Never. And the question will always remain, do we have the things in place to make sure that it's not changing the outcomes?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, when you look at it and you look what's gone forward, I think was there problems last year? Yes, a lot of problems with how we count and how
mm-hmm.
quickly we can count.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, simple things like when you drop a early voter
mm-hmm.
ballot at the polling position, it still has to go through the signature verification. So it's not going to be ready to go for seven years. One of the ones that we've supported is the ability for people to drop those off and just show their ID. So
mm-hmm.
they've now shown their ID. They're verifying they're who they are.
Right.
They open up. They boom, then they put it into an immediate count.
Mm-hmm.
So that would quicken the results.
Yeah,
and when you quicken the results,
yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And when you quicken the results, guess what? The confidence in the system increases as well.
Yeah.
I mean, people. The longer it takes to give the final results and to get the final results. I mean,
mm-hmm.
most importantly, we want them to be accurate.
Mm-hmm.
But the longer it takes, the more you hear people saying, "Well, something's going on. Something's
yep.
happening." So there are a lot of bills addressing this. I mean, you know, I've got. You can see it's pretty small ink on this.
I can't believe it.
And those are all the bills that are still waiting either to be heard or to be moving forward, but they've all still got possibilities.
You just showed me a page that looks like there's probably hundreds of bills.
And we'll see where they go. I mean, I think they're going to be smart. They're not going to move all of them forward because that's too much.
Yeah.
The other big difference from this legislative session
mm-hmm.
is there are a lot more bills that the legislators are looking to forward to the voters.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I'd like to see our legislators legislate more.
Yeah, rather
you know, direct. We have this conversation all the time. Direct democracy is one thing, and we're not.
Mm-hmm.
We're a republic. We're set
mm-hmm.
up that way.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, if we send everything to the voters for their mm-hmm. approval, and if it passes, then it becomes voter protected, and it can't change unless it comes back to the voters. A lot of times on these laws, you don't know how they're going to actually impact when they get put in place. So we're fearful that in 2024 is going to be a pretty wild election as is.
And there could be dozens of these.
And at the rate they're going right now, there could be dozens.
Okay. We'll take a break right here. More with General Maxwell. We'll talk about transportation after the break.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
This is John Trout. Catch me every weekday morning at 5 before Wake Up Tucson with America in the Morning. Breaking news, weather, politics, and sports on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. Monday edition of The Buckmaster Show. Final month of March. Great time of year to start planning for a springtime getaway to southwest New Mexico, specifically Silver City in Grant County. Their website has all sorts of information that will tempt you about recreation ideas like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. The website is southwestnewmexico.org for what to do, where to stay, and even where to dine. Some great places, fun places in Silver City. We continue now with our conversation with General Ted Maxwell, head of the Southern Arizona Leadership Council. He's president and CEO there. He also serves on the 7-member Arizona State Transportation Board. He is the ADOT representative on the 9-member Regional Transportation Authority Board as well. That's the RTA board. And before we talk about the RTA, had a question. The truckers now in America, they can only do 8-hour shifts, basically, behind the wheel, right?
And that's what I told you during the break, Bill. But I think what I did a quick little search. Mm. They can only go 8 hours continuous. They have to. They're required to stop for a minimum of a 30-minute delay, and they can't exceed 14 hours.
Okay.
And I think that may have changed and even come down to 12, but I'm not positive. But it's created an issue because as you had brought the question up, we closed a lot of the rest stops. A lot of times the truck drivers use the rest stops throughout Arizona and throughout any area where they're going to go long stretches of roadway in between towns. They use those for where they stop and gather and rest. And so we have a severe shortage of trucker parking in the state of Arizona, and we're doing a study right now at the state transportation level to try to fix that. But a lot of the rest areas that were shut down during the pandemic have now opened back up, but you'll find quite a few of them are for truck drivers only.
Wow.
And that allows them to ensure they've got the space to get their 30 minutes of mandatory rest between an 8-hour continuous driving shift.
I can't imagine behind the wheel for 8 straight hours.
I can't either.
I don't even know how they have enough fuel for that, but I don't know. But that, anyway, I do want to talk about the Regional Transportation Authority because we need an update from you, General Maxwell. What's going on?
Well, first of all, let's talk about RTA 1. That's the completion. I think a lot of folks are aware that we've moved 4 projects from RTA 1 into RTA 2. Combination of things. One is if this goes to the ballot in the next year to year and a half, we will actually be curtailing the first RTA by 2 years to get this one passed. It's not a 20-year extension. It's 20 years from the date you approve the new one, and that curtails anything. So that combined with the fact that the original forecast for funding through the RTA made back in 2006 was for $2.1 billion. We're sitting at about $1.7 billion right now. And so there is a shortage. So there's a couple projects. So we've identified four projects that are going to be part of RTA 1. Now, they will be RTA Next. They will be right at the beginning of RTA Next. But what that
they'll
means...
They'll be the top priority.
They'll be the top priorities. Okay. But what that means is that $250 million, we believe, to finish those four projects will come off the now $2.33 billion expected to be raised in the next 20 years. So it kind of reduces some of the funding. But it was an important thing to determine and let the municipalities have say on what projects they wanted. Many thought that maybe First Avenue should have been moved into that next category because there was discussion the city had wanted to do a four-lane version instead of a six-lane. Remember, 20 years ago, we predicted 1.3 million citizens in Pima County. We're nowhere near that. We're still at about 1.1, if not maybe a little under that in Pima County now. So the demand may not be there. So there's been a lot of studies that went into would a four-lane version accomplish what the goals and objectives of the six-lane version as passed in 2006 would do? And the answers all pointed to a yes. So this last board meeting, the board on a 6-2 vote voted to push forward with the four-lane First Avenue, which was a big thing. It was one that the city mayor and council were ready to move forward with. They were pushing hard for it. But at the same time, the technical studies, i.e. road counts, what the new flow would be, what traffic mitigation they're putting on those flows to increase it, all were pointing in the right direction. It was time to go. And the biggest thing then focused around, was there enough outreach? And the city of Tucson came and presented at the last board meeting on the amount of outreach they've done, how many surveys they received, how many folks. And the overwhelming response from those was that, you know, the four lane's probably good enough. I drive on First Avenue every day coming from Moore Valley into my office. Mm-hmm. So that was one of concern to me. And mm-hmm. it needs mm-hmm. to be done because the current situation is not attainable.
Yeah.
And I think the four-lane one will save some money in the overall spectrum. And mm-hmm. it also, still with the current numbers, will solve some of the problems we've got right now on traffic flow on First Avenue.
Did that settle some of the city's concerns?
We hope it does. Supervisor Scott, when he was explaining his mm-hmm. vote, it said that his vote was in part because this is something that the city as the lead agency felt strongly about. Yeah. It's become an issue on RTA Next, you know, some mm-hmm. of the reasons why maybe they wouldn't. Now there's mm-hmm. going to be other folks. We're going to have to explain why we downsized the number of lanes. I mean, mm-hmm. I was a big proponent to keep Broadway at eight lanes.
Mm-hmm.
It's now a six-lane road. And a six-lane road that seems to be doing very mm-hmm. well mm-hmm. with the transportation side on it. Mm-hmm. So we're going to build into the next RTA some points along the system where we're required to do a review of the projects that are coming up. Mm-hmm. Are they still viable? Do they still meet the intent? And do we need to make any changes?
Mm-hmm.
Or should we make some changes to them? Now, we don't have how we're going to make those changes yet, but a 20-year plan is a long plan.
Yeah.
With the changes in technologies, the changes in vehicles, the changes in funding. I mean, we had 2008, and then we had the pandemic.
Yeah.
The funding did not
come
out.
Who would have thought?
So we've got to be more flexible as we go forward.
Can't predict the future.
No, we can't. No. But we want to be as transparent
sure.
with the citizens. And right now there is a part of our board package last time was the current draft plan, 41 named projects. Those projects, though, are still about a couple $100 million over mm-hmm. what we want to allocate for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then additionally, you have the funding for transit, for safety, for environmental and economic vitality. Those buckets are there, too. Now, the Citizens Advisory Committee bill still having a robust conversation. There are some that thinks more need to go in those buckets. There's some that thinks there needs to be more in the fixed roads and which projects still could get moved around.
This thing is really being hammered out. This is a crucial point now.
And it needs to be because ultimately it's not the nine members of the RTA board. It's not the Citizens Advisory Committee. It's the voters.
Yeah.
It's the voters who will come forward, and we've got to make sure that people can see in that plan why there's benefit to themselves.
I'm sure there'll be an update the next time we have you with
Absolutely,
us, General
Bill.
Ted Maxwell. Thank you, General. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Bill.
On behalf of General Maxwell and John Engineering and Producing our program, on the other side of the glass, Bill Buckmaster saying, I hope everybody has a wonderful afternoon.